Previously on Valiant.
Sarna and Ziadani, you both have a strange dream. You walk onto a circular platform. And when you do so, just ever so slightly, the platform is glowing. And it illuminates water just out, around the platform. You stand out there and the light begins to glow brighter and brighter. As it does so, you can just see for just a moment there's what looks to be ancient carvings and stuff on the walls. The runes grow bright, and then it goes dark again, and the last thing you see before you wake up is a pair of glowing yellow eyes in the darkness. And these eyes are not human eyes. They blink, and they change from yellow to green, and they blink again, and they go through a few different colors, and then they close one last time, and you wake up. You head to the chapel, and you see that there is a large cart sitting outside. Yes, oh, didn't realize there would be other followers of Pati Kuato here. Nice to make your acquaintance. I'm Umaria. Well, I'm Halti, and that over there is Muvarin, so nice to make your acquaintance.
We, Ziadani and I, have been receiving visions.
Visions, you say? Of a temple?
How did you know that?
I've had visions as well. It's the reason we started this pilgrimage.
I think I know where the temple is, yes. It sounds to me like the Temple of the Whisperer, which is about a week north and somewhat west of here between the mountains and the Glass Desert.
So you want to go to the temple?
I would want nothing more than that, yes.
I feel like the Quaddle has brought us together for some reason.
If you don't mind waiting a few days, I'd happily join you to visit this temple and see what we can find.
I think we have to go together. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that sounds appropriate.
All right. So you make your way to the temple. So you just dealt with some gross boars, gross pig dudes. And
but they
wouldn't
sure
you
weren't
know it,
boring. Nothing,
they weren't boring. Correct. it's amazing that Ev's character died during that fight, and Rob isn't allowed to play anymore. Who would have guessed?
No.
I heard the police came and arrested Rob for his crimes. But anyway, moving on.
And you're sure he'll be punished?
Ah, there it is.
Oh my god.
It's too hot for me to deal with this, so I'm going to move on.
Luis, it's amazing that you can work with Ron.
No comment.
Luis is like, I can't work with Ron.
No, I love all these jokes. It's I just have a lot of fun, like, I am here in this glass house throwing rocks every which way.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just fun to like be like, oh, these jokes are so bad. But actually, I don't mind them. but I got to act like I do. So at the very least, our fans are like, oh, yeah, see, Luis is a good guy. He doesn't
he doesn't stand for this.
Listen, it's important that you give like the correct reaction to certain kinds of jokes, and certain kinds of jokes, the reaction that is desired is disdain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Tusk Club.
That's a great way of putting that.
Yes. God, Rob. Mm-hmm.
What did he say?
So there is this temple here, and not much has changed after the fight. The the Nisqals, the Sakiel are gone, but it's still creepy, gross, scary land. So, yeah, what's the plan now?
The plan is a short rest.
Okay.
A little 10-minute break.
Sure.
I'm going to recover my focus point, mm-hmm. and you might possibly want to do some kind of like hit point healing.
Yeah, you both look rather injured.
Let me see if Umaria can help here.
I can't actually see Ziadani's health bar, so I don't know how injured she is.
Oh, what happened to my health bar?
Oh, I don't think you can see each other's health bars.
I can see everybody but Jess's.
Yeah.
Oh, well then,
too bad. My permissions must be wrong.
I just assumed Ziadani was immortal now.
Yeah.
That seems reasonable.
What? Infinite health or zero health. Maybe she's undead. Who knows?
Oh, no.
There. Can you see it now?
Yes.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay, so one thing that I would like to do while we are doing our rest is, can I make a check to determine whether any of us were in fact diseased?
Oh, geez, I forgot to like have you make fort saves after all of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be a medicine check.
Okay. I have natural medicine, so I'm going to roll my nature check.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have 32.
Wouldn't you know it, you are all very hardy and rolled very well on your 46.
Yeah.
All right, all right.
So that's that. We'll say Umaria is willing to try to help. Oh, she rolls a nat 20 on her medicine check.
Nice.
Everyone recovers 33 hit points.
Nice.
Wow. Umaria is... wonderful.
She kicks butt there. It patching you all back up. I'm going to guess that's enough to get you all back up to your maximum hit points.
Yep.
Mm.
And I thank her, of course.
From a smart preparedness perspective, can Ev think of any particular, like, if I'm pronouncing it right, Sakiel? Or other related Akil type creatures that maybe now they might run into, considering the plane that they're on and what they just fought. Like, if there's ones that are really good at poison, maybe he should encourage everyone taking an antidote now. Or
there are lots of types of Sakils, so like there's no guarantee that you'll run into any one type
as
you move through. Unfortunately.
Presumably we will run into other versions of them, and they're all kind of keyed to fear.
Yeah, you're expecting them all to be immune to fear and all to have some kind of weakness to good damage.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Ev will say, if we're going to run into any more Sakils, we should be prepared for any fear-based things. And they will all be vulnerable to anything like good or holy or blessed. So that might help us. I don't know that any of us have anything for that, but I mean, I have a little holy water, but that's about it.
I don't have any other consumables that might be helpful, unfortunately. I wish that I had taken that antidote and then used it in a way that made it worth you sacrificing your antidote for me, but maybe it did affect my. Yeah,
I mean, it will help you for another 15 minutes.
True.
So
let's get fighting.
Right. I'm ready when you are.
I'm ready. I'm at full health. Got my sword, got my shield.
It's going to be very awkward if we get up to that door and can't get inside. That
would be awkward. I have picked up my battered, poor, thrown pistol off the ground, so I'm ready to go.
Sarna, don't forget you have cool firepower.
Oh, I did not forget. Don't worry. And I was just dealing so much damage with power attack that, like, I was riding that high.
Oh, humble brag there.
It was amazing. No humble brag needed. It was awesome.
I'm going to use my arcane bond for second level and cast false life again. Maishi Yanwanga. And a bit of energy flows up and through and into Ev, making him look a bit more healthy and robust. So I can have some temporary hit points again.
Woohoo! You make your way up the steps, I presume, toward the entrance into the pyramid. Rob just flies over there. Yeah, you guys could have just flown and, like, ignored these.
It is true. We have flight for an hour.
Well, you have flight for, like, 50 or 47 minutes or something.
Right,
like
right.
Could we have just flown over that entire fight?
You could have, but you would have also left your companions behind.
Yeah.
Good point.
We also would have left evil unsmoten.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
Pati Kuato wouldn't be too keen on that. All right, so you head inside. It's a kind of, it's not that cramped. I mean, it's a 10-foot wide entryway that leads into just kind of a small chamber, well lit, lots of torches. And there is a pair of staircases that descend into the pyramid, and also just over the openings for these staircases, there appears to be a weird, thin, ghostly membrane film over it.
Over the stairs, you said?
Yes, as if to block your passage into down the stairs.
What's the thing to the left of the stairs in the crosshair?
In the middle here?
No, off to the left.
Oh, that's just some bit of the map that I didn't bother to detail. That I mean, I took this map from an existing thing, so that doesn't exist for all intents and purposes.
Okay, good.
It's some broken stone. Great.
Any magic folks want to investigate?
Yeah, I'll try to study the aura, the energy, the membrane.
All right, I'm gonna need a occultism check for that. I almost said mysticism. That's completely wrong game. Yes, you've seen this before. If you recall, a while back inside the glass treader, there was the big pit that you jumped into after fighting the shadow ghost warrior thing. And it was also covered with a weird similar thing. And it didn't seem to go away until after you defeated the warrior in combat. And you believe it to be, if not the exact same stuff, something very similar.
Web just says, this seems like in the treader, when we ran into that warrior we had to prove ourselves against. I don't see one, but as I recall, he didn't appear until I tried to dip my foot down, or no, I stepped on top of that dais, kind of. So maybe if we try to go down, it will appear? Or fighting those creatures outside was tied to it? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll try to go down the stairs.
All right, you try to do so, and you just end up walking on top of the this membrane as if it were. I mean, it is obviously very solid and can hold your weight, and prevents you from getting through.
Maybe if we're all standing in this central area together, Ev like looks around as he steps in between everybody.
I'll begin examining the outside of the room to see if there's a lever or button or dial or place where if we shot three wolves, we could take their skulls and form a pattern and use them to unlock something.
Yeah, I am going to roll a perception check as well, but I got a 15.
I have a 30 on my perception to look around the room.
Okay, so you start searching around, and there's not much else going on in this room. And mid-search, you hear Hralti kind of ask, Umari, do you think this is the what we've seen before, what we've heard of? She nods and says, yes, I think it is, and then turns to you four. We call it a ghost screen. It's kind of a strange coalescence of planar energy that's obviously a deterrent, a boundary between not always dimensions, but you know, parts of different planes and dimensions. And we've encountered it before. It's usually it actually happens a lot down in back home. The saints created a lot of these to kind of prevent common folk from getting into places where they shouldn't. And over the years, we've learned a way to make it recede. We can't destroy it. We can't be rid of it entirely. But if one channels their life energy in such a way, they kind of take it into themselves, and that draws it out for a moment, kind of like a tide pulling away. But eventually, once you let go, it goes back into place. So if we needed to go deeper, one of us will need to do that, and at the very least remain here to either leave it open or to open it back up to allow us back out.
What does drawing the life force entail?
Oh, it's essentially just a meditation, but you know, the moment you leave, the moment you break that, it goes back. It requires a lot of attention, a lot of focus. And Hralti says, I'll do it. I'll take over here and open it up for you.
Well, thank you. Is it safe to leave one person by themselves, or should we leave two people?
Well, at the very least, he says, if there's anything down below, if for whatever reason I needed to, I could prevent it from coming back up here.
True.
Yeah, but potentially trapping you.
And leave you alone, especially if there's some sort of dark god whispering corruptive things into people's ears.
That is what it is. I will just have to deal with it. It's not far to leave this pyramid to get back to our world, so I'm willing to risk it.
Mm-hmm. You want an encouraging hug.
Do you have that feat?
Yes.
Yeah.
Avi personally does, whether or not his character, yes. their character does.
Yeah, so there is kind of like a group hug huddle, like both between the group and then specifically between Umari and Hralti and Muvarin, them being siblings. And they just kind of give a nod, and then he sits right down there in the center of the room between the two staircases. And you see him just begin to pray in a chant. And Mari explains that, you know, he's just focusing on calling this planar material toward him. And you see it takes a minute or so before it starts to move, but it begins to quiver as if like a water that is rippling, and then just kind of recede up toward into him. And it disappears as it does, you know, it just seems to go into him. It doesn't show any kind of physical signs of him pulling it in or anything. It's just, you know, slowly there's less and less of it, kind of like a sponge absorbing water. It's, you know, sponge itself might not look like it's wet or full of water necessarily, but it's obviously the water's gone. And the way is open.
Right. Into the dungeon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Does Harlty look weak or anything at all?
No.
Okay. We'll be back.
Which staircase do you want to go to? The eastern or the western one?
Always go right if it's an option.
Okay, let's go right.
East. I think Ben is right. If we were facing the north.
Then we shall go east. And you descend into the temple. We'll say you go down about 15, 20 feet where the staircase is. And you end up in... There's a big room. If you were to count it out, it's big. It's a big rectangular room. There is a fountain of water just off to the side from where you arrive. And there is like a chasm before you with a stone walkway across it. The walkway itself has some symbols on it from what you can see. And for the moment, that's what you see upon arriving. It's just another lit chamber with the fountain and the pit.
I would very much like to try and recall knowledge about those symbols.
Sure. I can do Bardic Lore for that.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to do Bardic Lore for everything I can do Bardic Lore for.
Okay. Which is everything, in a way.
Part of the joy. Room is 50 by 30, except for that fountain is making it a bit bigger. Chasm's like, what, 25 by 20?
All right, Owen, you are unclear as to the nature of these symbols or even what they represent or if they're even related to any existing symbology.
All right, great. Saren will waste time looking at them, slowly convincing himself that they are meaningless gobbledygook.
Zidani is going to check out the fountain, I guess.
Okay. As you approach the fountain, there are two carved faces in the basin that are spewing out the water here. And as you get close to them, one of the stone faces, you swear its eyes look at you and watches you approach. And then you're very sure it happens because it comes to life.
Oh.
And it just kind of walks out of the wall and is a big stone, I guess stone statue that walks out of there. And it seems hostile.
Uh-oh.
That's because it is. That's why it seems hostile.
Oh, we got a hostile fountain statue.
And it's time.
This is a perfect opportunity for me to use some magic in battle against the stone creature or rock music.
I was hoping it was the public bath attendant.
It might be the public bath attendant, but apparently we do not have the appropriate accoutrement.
Yeah, we've been turned away at the door. Or they tried, but then we killed the door attendants.
Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. So this episode, like a lot of the Valiant episodes, is going to move into combat. This combat is a little different compared to some of the other Valiant combats in that it dragged on. by no fault of the players. Unfortunately, the dice fell in such a way that players just weren't able to hit or deal much damage, and it meant it took a long time to be done with this combat. Sometimes it's just how it is, and honestly, I think moving forward, I might just decide combat is over sooner than it actually should be if you go based on the stats and hit points and everything. If you're the GM and you recognize that combat is dragging on and people aren't having fun or aren't engaged or aren't excited as much anymore, I think you're allowed to just end the combat early, unless you're running something that requires strict by-the-book play, like in organized play, for example. As a GM, you're kind of just free to make things end when the fun is run out, when it's run its course. You can find a strong attack, a critical hit, something inventive, something exciting that can mark the culmination of combat, and just call it there. The monster still had half of its hit points left. You can just end it. In particular, I think this is a lot easier to do when you have lots of combatants. It's assumed that a lot of combatants means that they each have smaller hit point pools, so it's easier to just get rid of them quicker to make things go faster. So next time your combat starts dragging, don't be afraid to just end things early. I wish I would have done that. It would have given us both a bit more time to do more things during this play session. It would have also made things just more engaging, more fun, more interesting. And it also would have made my job easier when editing. Ultimately, I ended up cutting about 2 or 3 rounds worth of combat just because they were very formulaic. People rolling attacks, people missing, or people doing minimal damage. Nothing really particularly interesting happened. So when you take the time to listen to this combat here, there will be a small transition point where we go from one round to one of the later rounds as we get things wrapped up. I ended up cutting about 20 to 30 minutes of combat, so the fact that this episode runs close to the typical runtime of an hour should tell you a lot. You know, imagine an extra 20 to 30 minutes of that. It would have not been interesting. So I cut things down. I promise you there isn't anything important that you're missing. All the relevant stuff remains in. I decided to keep the rounds where important things do happen, even if the majority of the round is rather uninteresting. There might be an interesting development, like a specific interesting check or a significant change in the combat landscape that might require understanding what has happened. For example, there's a point where Ziadani changes and uses a wild shape to transform into an animal. It would have been really weird if suddenly Ziadani's just talking about being this animal, so I kept that round in, for example, things like that. But yeah, I cut things here to keep things within runtime, to keep things interesting, keep things moving. I might continue to do that in the future, so if you're ever mid-combat and you hear the transitional little guitar bit, that just means that we skipped ahead a few rounds to something more interesting. Doesn't mean I'm trying to shortchange you on combat or mechanics or anything like that. It's just, you don't want to listen to all of that. I'm sure there will be people who say, oh, I want to hear everything, but you will just get nothing out of it. It's not like there's even interesting failures. It's just people missing, people being shy of AC by 1 or 2. It's not anything particularly interesting. There's not really funny natural ones or anything that happens or anything like that. So cut that all and hopefully made the episode a bit easier to listen to. Again, my lesson is here, and one that I hope to implement myself in the future now that I have had to deal with it kind of firsthand. End combats early if things are getting boring. Just go ahead and move on. There's so many opportunities for combat. Having generic combat number 18 run a little shorter is not going to be a problem. If it is a very pivotal combat, like a big story boss or something, do play it out all the way through. But for a group of mooks in the 8th room in the dungeon, halfway through the floor, just end it. Just be rid of him and move on. Anyway, speaking of moving on, I think we should get back to this combat. It's about to start. So let's see how it plays out. And let's hear that guitar.
So I'm guessing this is rock and water type, so it's not going to take any extra damage from my fire attack. We're playing Pokemon, right?
Correct. So what did Saren roll for initiative?
24.
Nice. Good roll.
That's better than most of your party.
Again.
Looks like Sarna is up first, quick to react.
All right.
The presence of Big Stone Boy.
I am going to... I realize I said I had my sword and shield drawn, so that's not exactly super helpful for what I want to do, but we'll make it work. I'm going to use my first action to... well, can I stand on the rim of this this fountain thing to get within range, or am I not able to get within range?
The fountain, from what you can see, is like ankle deep. So
okay, I will stand in the spot, so I'm adjacent to the creature. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna use my second action to stow my sword.
Oh, okay.
And then, I'm using a strategy here that might or might not pay off. And then on my third action, I'm going to raise my shield. Keep them guessing.
Okay. Cool. Well, it's Saren's turn next.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and inspire courage for one action. Mm-hmm. And then I am going to use Forbidding Ward on...
But that's forbidden.
No, not forbidden. Forbidding.
Oh, I see.
To protect Avi against the stone attacker.
Thank you.
So that is plus one to your AC and any saves against its attack spells and other effects.
Awesome.
Wouldn't you know it, it goes next. And goes to clobber Sarna.
That's why I boosted Sarna's AC.
All right, Sarna. Let's see this attack roll. 25.
That's not going to hit with my shield raised and the bonus.
You see it burrow through the ground.
Oh.
And come back up through the stone. Behind you in kind of the center of the room, or at least that's centered rude. Between all of you. And when it does, the ground around it, it becomes like broken and shattered, creating difficult terrain. I need a different color that pops up against Owen's thing. There we go. Difficult terrain around it. And it takes a chunk of rock and hurls it at Sarna. That's just an 18 that misses.
Nope.
Finazia Dottie.
All right. Since we're playing Pokemon, I'm going to cast Electric Arc. Well, I don't think 16 is going to hit.
It doesn't need a spell attack. It's a reflex.
Oh, it doesn't? Oh, it's a reflex? Okay. Okay. So I did have it set up right before.
Yeah. It takes the 10 electricity damage.
All right.
Cool. Got one action left.
And then... I'm going to cast Guidance on Sarna.
Thank you. What does Guidance do again?
It gives you plus one to some d20 rolls. Okay. Attack to rolls. What? Yeah. You choose what roll to use it on. And it can be an attack roll, perception check, saving throw, or skill check.
Okay. I will...
And you have to use it on your next turn or else it's gone.
Okay. I already am getting a plus one from Inspire Courage, and they won't stack because I believe they're both status bonuses.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's true. I don't know. Yeah, I will take it if you want to, but...
You can use it on a saving throw.
Yeah.
True. So if I come up against a saving throw in the next...
round.
But in the next round, then that will be useful. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I will take it. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that... You weren't going to use it for something, and then we go, oh, no.
Okay. Actually, though, you can't use it for saves either because I put a forbiddance on you, forbidding ward on you, and that gives you a plus one status to saves.
Oh, you did. Okay, so yeah, I appreciate the attempted buff, but you should probably choose something else.
Okay, I'll cast Guidance on Ev.
Excellent.
Guess what, Ev? It's your turn.
Hey.
Thank you. This works great. Ev would like to try to recall knowledge about what this creature specifically is and is capable of.
Okay.
You can get a plus one on your skill check.
Yeah. Arcana or nature?
Arcana it is. So that's plus one. So it's going to be a 15. 28.
28. Cool. You recognize this to be some kind of earth elemental. In particular, it's a stone mauler. It's just a big old rock that fights. Doesn't have any weaknesses in particular.
Not a water type.
Not a water type. But it...
Darn!
It does have a thing where if it takes damage, it can burrow away to avoid further attacks. So keep in mind that it might try to run away when you hit it.
Just to point out, this earth elemental will constantly try to burrow away every time it's attacked, so it's going to be pretty mobile. It'd be great if you just went back into the fountain. Sorry, I don't speak Terran. Let's see. At least I don't think so. It's going to be awkward if I do. Nope, I don't. Ev will walk. Do I walk back? No, you know. Yeah, I guess it's smart to walk back. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. I have 30, that's right. So Ev walks back quite a bit, putting some separation, and he'll chant Ngaho and put up his shield. That's the end of my turn.
All right.
Okay. So my brilliant plan was that it wouldn't move immediately away from me, and I could do a three-action billy goat ring attack. But I guess we will have to do a two-action version instead, and I'll use my first action to get close.
I think you can still do that while holding your sword in your hand.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
I can punch with my sword in my hand. Then I wasted an action on my last turn. Hubris. Okay, so whatever. No crying over spilt milk. I will get within range and give me a DC 22 fortitude save.
All right. As you enter the spiky terrain around it.
It's hazardous terrain.
It is hazardous.
Darn, I thought it was just difficult. Oh, well.
You take 7 piercing damage.
Okay, that's fine.
Does the fly help?
I guess you could fly over it.
Eh?
Is it too late to revise that and say I flew over it?
Nope.
Oh my god.
What's the DC again?
22.
Fort save, you said?
Yes.
Boy, that's the wrong one to pick. It critically succeeds.
Oh, darn. Okay. Well, my brilliant strategy was actually a total bust, but oh well. And that's the end of my turn. Sorry, y'all.
No. You took a swing. How high is the ceiling in here?
The ceiling in here is 15 feet tall.
All right. I am going to hover in the... I'm going to fly up, so I'm hovering in the middle of the room between the ceiling and the floor.
Sure.
For one action. Mm-hmm. I am not going to maintain my Inspire Courage this round. I will instead go ahead and fling a telekinetic projectile at this thing to see how that does.
Okay. That's a miss.
Okay.
Or you could use an essence point.
Yeah, no, not at this point.
Okay.
I like to save up my essence points and use them to fire lightning bolts at things.
That's fair. the stone mauler goes to Wallop Sarna. Yikes. 38 to hit.
I love when the GM says yikes. yeah, that's obviously a crit.
It's a crit.
You can spend an essence point to make them reroll.
I'm going to do that because this could be quite bad.
All right, let's do that. 27 to hit.
That is not a crit.
21 damage.
Okay.
And then it attacks a second time.
Oh, jeez.
Yay.
20 misses, right?
20 definitely misses.
Okay. And it's going to Earth Glide again. What's your bro speed? Oh, yeah, you got plenty. Pops up over here.
This is the swing and fate that comes from me getting two crits on power attack in a row.
Ziadani's turn.
Ooh, okay. Did it seem like it took full damage from electric arc?
Sure did.
Did it seem like that damage was of particular consequence?
Didn't seem to be any different than when you normally electrocute people.
Yeah, I'll do electric arc again for now.
All right. Goes to save. It's a failure, so it takes the 12 damage.
Yeah. And then for my final action, I will do guidance on Saren.
Ev, when you moved to the spot that you're on, at the far end of the room right now, I forgot to mention it, but when you arrived there, the stone tile that you're on did recede down into the floor just a bit. We'll call it like 4 or 5 inches is how far it receded down. Nothing happens. I'm just telling you that's what it did. Ev's turn.
All right. Ev's gonna float up.
All right, and as you do, hey, that bit of the floor.
Ev will just say, "I just like to point out that tile is receding. I don't know if anything's about to spring out and hurt us, but let's keep that in mind." Ev will float up, and let's see, and away a bit. Yeah, just. I don't like being against the wall. So, well, I guess we risk it. Ev floats past the elemental.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Everything seems good.
Great.
And then Ev is going to, I guess, do electric arc as well. Yao Mei Mei. Have electric energy jump from his hands onto the elemental creature. Reflex save 22 as well.
Okay, all that damage.
3d4 plus 4.
Just gonna use cantrips to slowly whittle away its health.
Possibly.
That's 13 damage.
13 damage it is.
That's the end of my turn.
Sarna.
Question. I did not write it down. When Rob identified the creature early, that was Rob, right?
Yeah.
Did you identify weaknesses and resistances?
I didn't have anything to talk about specifically.
Okay. So does that mean it does not have resistances or the roll wasn't high enough to determine
from what
that?
He knows, there's nothing to worry about.
Okay.
Resistances.
The reason I've been doing weird things is because stone creatures generally are resistant to physical damage. Sure. Which is why I have not been using my sword. But it is within
attack and find out.
Yeah, it is. That's true. But I think because I need to use an action to draw my sword, what I am going to do is draw my sword.
Mm-hmm.
And fly over. Mm-hmm. Within range.
Yep.
And let's see what happens. I'm debating whether or not to use Flare Bolt or just a regular strike. I'm going to use a regular strike, and if it doesn't work, then next time I'll use Flare Bolt. That's a 22 to hit with the +1 from Inspire Courage.
There's no Inspire Courage going in.
Oh, God. Then that's a 21 to hit.
That misses.
Yep. I'm going to throw out my shield for my last action.
You can't.
Okay, so I learned nothing.
You can't get your shield up.
Why not?
Because you spent an action to get your sword out, then flew, and then a strike. So that's three. Oh, God.
You're right. I'm sorry, everyone. I am not tracking this super well. My bad.
Oh, you're fine. Saren's turn. Saren is hovering up in the air. I think
you have
spent an action to maintain your hover.
I will spend an action to maintain my hover. Mm-hmm. And I will go ahead and spend two actions to throw a telekinetic pistol at it again and see how that goes this time. I'll hit a 17.
That's a miss.
All right. That's it. I'm out.
All right. Sarna's going to get punched. Here we go. 33 to hit.
That hits.
19 damage. Then it's going to lob a rock at Ev. Which is technically a ranged attack within Sarna's reach.
I will attack of opportunity that. Yeah. If I can get a single hit this fight.
Okay.
27.
That hits.
All right.
Awesome.
Damage 11.
11 damage. Doesn't seem to be any difference with the damage it takes.
All right. Okay. Finally learned.
When it gets hit, it uses his reaction where, hey, the reaction is it takes damage while standing on top of a rock or earth. And it burrows down 15 feet. So it actually goes out of sight for a moment. But we'll say it throws its rock right before it does that. Otherwise, this doesn't make any sense. 19 to hit Rob. I think it's just going to miss.
Misses.
And finally, it pops up on the opposite side of the room again. Kind of close to Ziadani, but not right up in Ziadani's business. Ziadani, your business is uninterrupted, so go ahead.
My uninterrupted business will be to cast a two-action second-level heal on Sarna.
Cool.
Thank you.
2d8 plus 16.
Yeah. Plus 2 from my staff of healing.
Plus 2.
So you get 27 HP.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to stay put, and I will do guidance on Sarna.
Cool. Well, it's Ev's turn. Should I save against electric arc?
Yeah, my other spells are not really prepped for. So, yep. Ev's gonna do the same thing. Yahoo Meme.
Alright.
Electric arc.
Uh-huh.
For 9 damage this time.
Well, luckily you, it critically failed.
Oh, okay. So that's 18 damage. And nothing else.
Alright. You have one action left. Do you want to keep floating in the air or what do you want it to do?
Yeah, I'll hover.
You do that. All right, Sarna.
All right. It was so nice to not move. I love that. So in that case, I'm going to power attack.
Ooh.
And not get my hopes up. Oh, it's a 21 to hit. Okay.
21 is going to miss.
Okay, I'll raise my shield again.
Okay. What fun times these are. glad I could just trim this all down when it comes to the edit.
Yeah, so. Bleh. I think it's just going to be Forbidding Ward on Sarna and Inspire Courage.
Okay. No, it's a cantrip. That's great. Wow, that's a... What the heck?
Yeah, it doesn't really... Yeah, the having a sustained on a cantrip doesn't really...
Really, it's... Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's two actions to cast and one action to maintain.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
But, I mean, it doesn't feel as bad if you don't get a chance to maintain it because you can bring it back up
later. Right, which is what I'm doing. Yeah. I didn't maintain it last round. Yeah. So.
Anyway, wow, cool. Kudos to whoever designed this game. If anyone knows who helped create Pathfinder 2nd Edition, please reach out to us.
Yeah, wasn't me.
What a mystery. What a mystery. How would we ever find out?
The elemental...
My lips are sealed.
Goes to... throw a rock at Ziatani.
Oh.
Which is technically a ranged attack.
Yeah. So that means an attack of opportunity.
Sarna just used shield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ooh.
No, Sarna had their turn since then. So Sarna, if you want to do an attack of opportunity.
I'll do it.
Why you sound not? So hesitant.
No. I'll, yes, I would love to take an attack of opportunity. 22. God.
Does that include the plus one?
That does. These are okay. Just grueling rolls.
Okay. I think a 32 hits Yadani.
It does, but it does not crit.
Okay. Then you get hit for 23 bludgeoning.
Rude.
Then it wallops, makes a wallop attempt at Sarna. 26?
Yes, that hits.
Does it? Because you have forbidding. Do you have your shield up?
Oh my god, what was my last turn? Yes, I did have my shield up in my last turn, so that's plus two and then plus one from
Forbidden Ward. Yeah.
That is a miss!
Yeah!
Thank you for reminding me. Okay, I'm glad I spent that last action on the shield.
It burrows up into Zidani's business this time.
If that's what you want. I'm gonna turn into an animal.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. It's your turn.
Yeah. So it's two actions to turn myself back into a shaggy little coyote.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to make my jaws strike. Oh, God. And I only have a 22 to hit.
22 is unfortunately a miss.
It is. That's sad. Okay.
Ev.
Chance Yamamei has electric arc and still hovers. Ev's watching to see if anyone gets too hurt, and he'd use some healing, but doesn't look like he needs to.
I mean, keep hitting it. You've been hitting it pretty well, so.
So that's
the consistent damage of electric arc is going to be what takes it down.
Electric arc is totally running this battle.
Yeah.
All right, Sarna.
All right, I am going to use my first action to get up close and personal and flank with Ziadani. Yes. All right.
We're not going to miss by one anymore.
Okay. You're going to miss by more.
Don't say that yet.
I am so mad at you right now, Jess.
No.
Do you want to try to re-roll your natural one with an essence point?
Roll with my essence point. That was a critical failure. I can't believe that just happened.
Oh, God.
The elemental calls you a dork because of that critical failure. Okay, all right. Well, the
next one's a 28.
So. 28 to hit. Yes.
Okay, let's roll some damage.
Elemental bullying is wrong.
Yeah.
I got trapped on this plane for this.
That is 14 damage.
14 damage. You have one action left.
And by one action, I'm going to throw up that shield.
Okay. All right, sir.
I am going to maintain the Forbidding Ward, put up Inspire Courage, and as an act of desperation, I will take an action to draw my Blunderbuss. Which I don't think I've shot anything with in two character
Amazing. Moves.
All right, here's what's gonna happen. This elemental's gonna punch this coyote. 28 to hit.
That hits.
Then it's gonna punch Sarna with the 33.
Oh,
not a crit.
Okay,
not a crit.
So Jess, you take 20 damage. Sarna takes 23 damage.
We are on a new round, right? So I can use shield block.
Correct.
Awesome.
So you can reduce that by 10 and only take 13 on yourself and your shield.
Excellent. Thank you.
And here's what it's going to do for its last action. It's going to burrow away like a jerk, leading into Ziadani's turn.
I'm going to fly over.
Mm-hmm. Like coyotes do.
Like coyotes do, you know. I'm a little wily. Uh-huh. And I'm going to make my jaws strike.
Mm-hmm.
So I have 28 to hit.
28 hits.
For 18 damage.
18 damage is enough to get this thing to collapse into a big old pile of rocks.
Thank God! Well done. Well done, team. We had some missteps that were all from me, and we made it out alive.
Yeah, it collapses into a pile on the ground. Looks like it maintains its form as like a vaguely humanoid rock thing, but that is that.
At chance. Yao Mei Mei, and has a bunch of electricity dance over its body just to see if anything happens.
There's a lot of electricity around it.
Okay, I think we're good.
That could have gone better.
But we won. It doesn't matter how much we danced around ridiculously. We did win.
So, we in the first room right now. do we want to just tuck on back up the stairs for a minute?
Yeah,
that seems maybe
wise.
10 minutes.
Yeah.
This has been a No Direction production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction Network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/NoDirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.